Buenos días, buenas tardes, and buenas noches.
Whatever time you're tuning in and watching our podcast, welcome to Business Matters with Laura Nowlin podcast. First, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, CS Now Staffing. If you're needing to build a winning team of professionals, please give us a call at 702-902-2448. Give a big shout out as well to the makeup today done by Faces by Dre, and you can get a hold of her at 714-595-1837. She'll actually drive to you. She'll drive to you, do your makeup, $75. Can't beat that. And then my hair today is done by Maria Bolivar. She's with Beauty and Health, and her number is 702-845-9696. $100. That's really good. All right. And then today we're wearing new pair of shoes. That's what I say, because we're in a new studio. We're at the launch pad with Anthony Mendoza. He is the CEO. And I'm just excited that we have a new pair of shoes. Okay. And his number is 702-997-1396. Make sure that you reach out to him. They do websites. They do all kinds of different stuff. They have different filming studio rooms here. You can have events here. He's fabulous. Okay. And now our guest of the show today, Dr. Janet Runge. And she is with UNLV. What is your title?
I do a lot of things at UNLV, but what we're talking about today is the fact that I coordinate the global entrepreneurship experience for the Lee Business School and the university overall.
Yes. And then where did you come from? Were you here originally, here from Las Vegas?
I was born. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, and I went to college in Louisiana, and I did 3 degrees there. I have a bachelor's in public administration from Loyola University in New Orleans, a master's of business administration from the University of New Orleans, and then the degree that matters, my doctoral degree, came from LSU, Louisiana State University. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Did you hear that?
I get a PhD in strategic management and entrepreneurship, and that brought me here. This was my first job out of my doctoral program. I came here to teach the very first entrepreneurship class that was ever going to be offered at UNLV, and that's what I did. I managed to grow that into 2 sections of entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. And from there, I put in place a major in entrepreneurship, a minor in entrepreneurship. I founded our Center for Entrepreneurship, and then I was asked to develop a signature program for the Lee Business School, and that's the Global Entrepreneurship, which is what I've been doing now for the last 17 years.
17 years. So I've been in the staffing industry for 18 years here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, I've been at UNLV longer than that, mm-hmm. But the G program, 17 years, and it's been awesome.
I bet. How long have you been at UNLV?
27 years.
Wow. You know. Congratulations. Yes.
Make it to 30. I'll make it to 30.
Yes, you will. You will make it to 30. Yes, you will.
Gone.
And so you're well known in our community for starting programs and developing, doing the education components. You know, can we talk a little bit then about where we met?
Sure.
Yes.
Meeting you was a great day because you were part of another program that I helped create, and it's the Small Business Leadership Academy. I also taught in our executive MBA program, and I had the opportunity to meet Keith Wingate at Cox Media, and he was in the program, and he took a couple of classes with me, and a little while later, I got a phone call. Janet, you know, let's talk about this idea. And the Small Business Leadership Academy was an effort, a partnership with UNLV and Cox Communications to develop a program initially to help suppliers of Cox Communications, right? They have a diverse group of suppliers, and they wanted to help small businesses be sustainable, to succeed, so they could continue to do business with those businesses and help grow the community. I have to say, I can't say enough good things about Cox Communications and their commitment to, you know, growing and supporting the committees, the communities that they're a part of. And so originally there was a program in Phoenix in that Cox was working with through ASU, and it was more of a leadership program. And I took a look at what they were doing, and, you know, great program, that's fine. But it didn't really meet our needs in our community. And so I built a program that I thought, based on my conversations with small business owners, based on my work in the community, that I thought would make a difference. One of the, I think, important things that we did was, before we even got started, we took a look at the market. And, you know, you remember I talked about knowing your customer.
Oh, yes.
And that was important to us. There are so many programs out there that work for startups. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to start a business? Here's the, you know, that's great. And let me tell you, I love startups. I've done a lot of work with startups. But businesses get to a point where that startup stuff doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And what comes next? And so we specifically put together a program that said, you have got your business to a point. How do you grow it to the next level?
Right.
And so we specifically said, you have to have been in business for 3 years. You have to have over $250,000 in revenue. You have to have fewer than 500 employees, but more than one. Right. And so, you know, we really targeted a specific demographic. And then what do these business owners need to know to move it forward? And we identified two different paths. Once again, in part because of what we know about the community, we have one of the most entrepreneurial communities in the entire country. Right? More business startups year after year. We are always somewhere on the top of the list. And that's exciting.
That is.
The problem is, a lot of those small businesses don't make it. We run into some other challenges. We are not perhaps as well educated a community as, you know, our neighbors in Salt Lake or Phoenix or, you know, over in California. About 30% of our population are high school high school graduates, approximately 25% have some college, right? The number of college graduates is 17-18%, right? So we've got a lot of small business owners who don't necessarily have the formal training in business. And, you know, you can learn a lot growing it yourself and doing it the hard way, but you can also make a lot of mistakes because you didn't know. And so helping to educate a population to do better, I have to tell you, in all honesty, the SBLA is one of the most fulfilling things I've done. I just absolutely love working with these small business owners. And so we created a program that takes two different tacks. One feels a little more academic, mm-hmm. and the other is a little more hands-on. And we call it, you know, the strategy sessions. And there are four class sessions that deal specifically with, here are the rules of the road when you think about building a strategy, right? First of all, know your market, know your customers, understand the resources you have to work with. Where are the opportunities? Where are the threats? How does what you have allow you to take advantage of those opportunities, right? And here are some ideas about how you can build strategies that take you there. But, you know, a lot of businesses get stuck because they think what got me here is going to be what moves me forward.
And it's not.
And that is so not true.
Right.
What got you here got you here. Mm-hmm. The way forward is going to be different. And so in those strategy sessions, we also talk about ways to be innovative in a business, ways to do things differently, to think differently, and to try, you know, you don't have to rearrange the entire way you do business, but you need to see the little things. I'm a big believer in small experiments. How can you change up just one little thing and see what happens? And if that works, you take the next step. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, you didn't put a lot at risk. There's not a lot of downside. And so we go through, how does that happen? How can you think about that? We also have our students think about, how do you map the processes that happen everywhere in your business, right? Could you make a flow chart that detailed everything that happens? You know, if a piece of paper comes into your business, where does that piece of paper go?
The mail.
Way through. Well, or the circular file.
Right.
I appreciate that, right?
But the black hole.
Right? But thinking about those processes helps you think about, could we do things more effectively, more efficiently? And then at the end of the strategy sessions, we top it all off with building a strategy map. And as painful as it is, it's a fabulous way to really understand what goes on in your business, because you have to think about, what resources am I using? What are the steps along the way? And the important part that most businesses don't think about is, how am I going to know if these things are happening? How can you create metrics that help you understand, is this working? Is it not working? Do these things connect up, or don't they connect up?
Right.
Right. So many people focus so much time on planning, and I am a big believer in business plans. You need one. But it's not something you create and put in a drawer. It's a living, breathing document. And you have to update that as new information comes in, as you need to pivot to something else. It's an important part of the process, but it's not the end-all, be-all. They spend so much time on that planning part.
Right.
But they don't think about the implementation part. Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps even
execution.
More shortened. Execution is everything.
Right, it is.
It is totally the whole ball game.
Yes.
You could have a garbage plan. If you execute it, well, you'll be wildly successful.
Exactly.
And then on top of that execution, you have to measure. You have to figure out, how do we know if it's really working? Where is the feedback coming through? How are you learning and putting what you learn back into the business? And so we spend a pretty intensive 4 weeks working on that. The following 4 weeks in the 8-week program, fit that in, we call the toolbox session.
Right.
And those are hands-on topic sessions. And so we started out with negotiations. If you are a small business owner, you are negotiating every day.
Every single day.
If you're a parent, you start negotiating with the 5-year-old, right?
Right.
It's a skill. And so we work on, here are skill sets that you can build. We talk about, how do you manage a team? And there is a lot involved there, particularly now when we have more generations in the workplace than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll just say, I keep hearing lots of bad things about Generation Z. I adore Generation Z. They work differently, and that's one of the reasons, you know, business is going to change.
Right.
But I am so excited about what is coming down the pike in terms of future talent for businesses, that there's a lot to be said. But, you know, man, clashes in the workplaces.
Oh, yes. Different age groups.
Happens differently. We talk about sales and digital marketing and AI, because that is now a big part of how business happens. And, you know, a lot of small business owners don't necessarily feel comfortable going out and talking about themselves and their product, but if they can't do it, they're not going to be in business long. And so we work on that. And we end up with cash management.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of businesses are operating, and the people who are operating those businesses really don't know or understand the numbers, which scares the heck out of me.
The money that doesn't discriminate, could care less what nationality you are or your age.
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, businesses, some of it can look great on paper, but you take a look at the cash flow statement and you can't afford to pay people at the end of the week, you've got a problem.
Yeah,
right?
Major.
So we take our students through the process of understanding how those numbers work, what they mean, and how to think about them. The beautiful thing about this is that it's a learning laboratory. The participants in the program are from different industries, different bases of experience, and they learn as much from each other
right.
as they are learning from the people standing in front of the room. There's homework.
Yes, there is. There's always homework in these classes. A lot of homework, a lot of reading.
The readings come from Harvard. You know, we are putting you in a graduate program.
Oh, yeah.
And they're specifically chosen to help businesses do more. And the other thing that sets us apart from the other programs out there, because there are so many different programs for MS owners around the Valley, we actually offer continuing education units through UNLV. And so our participants receive 3 CEUs, and a lot of businesses are operating in fields where they have to have certifications and to demonstrate that they're taking, you know, coursework. Ours, you know, can count towards that.
You know, it has crossed my mind. Do I really want to go back to for my master's?
Mm-hmm.
That
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of sacrifice.
And a lot. That's why I got my bachelor's of science degree, because I said I didn't want to stop at the BA, because I said my chances of coming back are very slim. But I've been taking all kinds of different courses these last 10 years as a business owner. You're right. There are so many in the Valley. I had the opportunity of being part of the WeBank West.
Mm-hmm.
So I received an email saying about this class, but it was limited amount of people. So I'm like, oh, I responded and I got selected. So I was really excited about that, about how many people actually register for the class and then how many actually end up graduating from the classes. Because I see a lot, like our classes are big a lot of times. They start big on any of the classes that I take. And then at the end for graduation, I'm like, where that person at?
Yeah. We our sweet spot is 15 to 20 participants. And you know, we're pretty good at hitting that 15. I would love to grow it. There is a cost involved, as you know, the price right now for the program is $2,000, and that has been taken care of by our partner organization,
yes,
Cox Communications and Southwest Gas.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know, I am so grateful that they make this available.
Right.
But like I said, I would love to have 20 students.
Yeah. If I may share what I learned in the class and where my highlights are, because it's different for every person. We're all at different stages. Like you mentioned, you had to be in business for 3 years, you said, or more. So some of us are at the 3-year mark. Some of us that are 5. Some of us that are 10. And what I got out of it, where I was able to implement, is actually this podcast. Okay, so I was able to pick up how to really take it to the next level. Because when we first started our show, it was Hablemos de Negocio. I was a co-host for someone else. I was bringing in the guest, but it was all in Spanish. It was on Spanish TV, but it wasn't a true podcast. And then after that, I'm like, I want to do an English one. So then I launched Let's Talk Business. And that one was on Roku, but it was still not a real podcast. And then after having one of your guests there and talk about AI and talk about podcasting and how to take it to the next level, I have a young team. So I went back to my youngins. I'm like, guys, we could do this.
Exactly.
And that's how Business Matters was launched, because of this.
It's a logo.
It is. Great. So that's one of the things that I learned there. Another thing is, you know, when I first started going to school for my college degree, I went in for a secretarial certificate.
A lot of people do.
A secretarial certificate. And I took a math class and I was acing it. And my instructor told me, what are you here? What are you studying for? I go, oh, a secretarial certificate. She goes, absolutely not.
Good on you.
She goes, try CPA. Try accounting.
Mm-hmm.
I went in. I'm like, okay, my business classes, I'll do CPA. Let me see what I'll do with it. I got my associate's degree in business, mm-hmm. right? With emphasis in accounting. But that was from a community college. Once I transferred over to a university, Cal State San Bernardino University, I said, I am not a CPA. I'm not. That's not me. I started taking advertisement, marketing classes, and I just lit up.
I would expect that. I can totally see it.
I remember Dr. Victoria Seitz, my marketing instructor. She says, one of these days, I'm going to see you on the front cover of a magazine. I go, within a year? She goes, no, girl, bet you'll be there. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get my BA. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, no, I need to go for my bachelor's of science degree, right? So that's what I did. But backing up, my books are my biggest challenges. From when I first started 10 years ago, I'm a people person. I have ideas, nonstop ideas, like literally nonstop.
That's
I'm very hyper.
Nope.
Very hyper, okay?
No, I edge in class. I'm full.
And so I have ideas constantly. You're not going to sit me there to do books. From the day one when I started, I needed to show someone how to do QuickBooks. And I'm like, you take care of the book,
right?
And all this. So I would tell you that's my biggest challenge. So that's where I was able to pick up more in the class. Because I'm like, okay, Laura, you got to bring it down. Because you got a client right now that hasn't paid his $240,000 bill. And you already ratted him out. And now you got fired. And now you really in big trouble. So it's like, you got to buckle up here, right?
Exactly.
But I got to make these numbers. These numbers have to work. I have to crunch them. I have to keep on until I'm able to figure this thing out.
And you don't even need to know how to generate the numbers. Mm-hmm. But you absolutely need to know what they mean
to
what they're telling you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
No, our CPA, Randy Daugherty, just is amazing.
He was
helping people understand that part of it.
Very good. So those were like my biggest highlights for me. Mm-hmm. And then also negotiation. I just want to continue getting better at negotiating, right? It's like, this is the way I look at it. They say no. I'm like, not now. You need more information. I'll be back. Right?
Right? Yes, that's exactly what it is. You know?
So I learned a lot in the classes. I always take something from every single class.
And that's what that is built in. There has to be an aha, takeaway in every session that we offer.
Yes. And so I just want to give a big shout out to WeBank West for allowing me the opportunity to even submit my application.
We are really happy to work with them.
Oh, yes. And then also Southwest Gas and Cox Communication for sponsoring it. So 18 years ago, working for a small staffing company called Millennium Staffing. It was Jennifer DeHaven and Donna Latanzio. My first account that I had was World Market Center. When I first started 18 years ago, the building had just been built. They just had their first show. I was like, whoo, I loved staffing for the World Market Center. But the reason I share this story is another place we used to staff for is Cox Communication.
It all comes
18 years ago in the staffing industry. They support the small business community.
They have been a champion of small business for so long. Yeah. And, you know, I am so deeply appreciative of their commitment.
Oh, yes, yes. And you know what I see that a lot of the struggle is here in our state is we're so highly regulated. I just finished interviewing Sarah Johnson from the Lieutenant Governor's office. It's like so much regulations. You stop that entrepreneur.
You are complaining.
Yes. But dang it, so I'm doing something about it.
You could be in California. Now I think so.
That's where I was from.
Yeah.
And I actually owned a business out there. It was called Latina Mova Notary.
Right.
That I did in California. But yes, so that's one thing that I think that stops. I think that we would have so much more growth and so many more businesses wouldn't close down and fail if we're a little more lenient in that area. Okay?
And I'm not going to talk about leniency, but I think on a doctorate.
You
know, listen, I work at a government institution,
yeah, right?
But I think that we can do a better job of streamlining the processes, yes, mm-hmm, for compliance. If we're not working on compliance and, you know, leaving that alone, that we can streamline processes. And to their credit, I think, you know, the city of Las Vegas, the city of Henderson, they're working on it. And
yeah,
it's definitely better than it was, right?
Right. No, I do see changes coming. Mm-hmm. I feel very confident. And I'm really glad that they're in session right now and that they hopefully watch us and listen to us.
Yeah. Excellent. So another question that I have for you, as you know, I'm very hyper. What do you do when you get students like me in your class?
I leverage that.
Right? Because they're all entrepreneurs.
The beautiful thing is that the SBLA isn't as much a class as it's a conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? I ask you to read stuff, and then let's talk about what you read, what was important, and what struck you, and what sent you flying off in a direction.
Oh, yes. You know, like, well, I didn't even think about that one.
It
what did he say?
Intersected with what Crystal had read, mm-hmm. and how do the two of you generate more that comes out of that? I mean, it's that kind of a process. I don't worry about you being so hyper and all over the place. That increases the learning capacity of the entire group.
And so being an instructor for so many years and working with the small business community, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, do you think that people like me, mm-hmm. that are tagged with bipolar, ADHD, ADDD, whatever the heck you want to call us, right? You want to control us and stop us from thinking, really just allowing us to think is really healthy, right?
I think it's incredibly healthy.
Right. So then do you believe that we have a better chance of actually surviving as entrepreneurs opposed to someone that doesn't have all that energy? Because here's what I find. 10 years in business and I haven't stopped pivoting. I find keep going until I find the solution to the problem.
I know you do. We talked a lot. Here's a pivot here. It was a pivot right there. And what phone are you going to do this?
Yeah. Right.
It's an interesting question,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know that I would call it energy. I would call it comfort with ambiguity. A lot of what I try and teach my students at UNLV is to develop a tolerance for ambiguity. Mm-hmm. You are never going to know everything you need to know. There is no perfect information. The world changes when you blink. And so you have to be comfortable with not necessarily knowing what comes next.
Change, change, change.
But with understanding and being comfortable with your ability to see those changes coming, mm-hmm. and to understand what you've got to work with that will help you make those adaptations. And the people who have that tolerance for ambiguity, mm-hmm. are going to outcompete the people who have to, well, this is the way we do it, and I can't be outside the lines. It's
So my bookkeeper, when she looked at my books and saw that I had lost the contract, you know what her recommendation was?
I have a suspicion, but what did she say?
BK.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely
I
not.
Thought, yeah. Yeah, shut it down, right? That's,
I'm like,
that's crazy.
What the heck? My kids, I had a board meeting. My kids thought, Mom, you've been at this for 10 years. Just bankrupt it.
That's not.
I said, the board meeting is now over. You may go ahead and leave. And then I finished the board meeting that next morning in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it was not to file BK. My husband says, absolutely not. The kids didn't put as much money as we did, over $500,000 into this baby.
Right.
10 years of sacrifice.
Exactly.
Right.
And you have other ideas and other pivots you can make.
Oh, yes.
It's a sad state of affairs, but it's not a deal breaker.
But I am very grateful for my kids that are part of my journey, especially my daughter. I don't know if you're familiar, which I'm pretty sure you are, with what the heck is EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System. Does that sound familiar at all?
I've heard about it.
So that's what helped me during COVID when Nevada was so closed. I knew that I could not just roll over and play dead. So I ended up in Texas, and I landed a national account doing logistics.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to Texas to leave Nevada. I went to Texas to fund Nevada. I left.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Oh, yeah. I left my team at a church, at my church, helping with the food bank distribution center because we have people in Ferraris coming here as getting food, right?
Right.
No questions asked. We had so many people just that needed food, right? And so the PPP loan, I was able to take advantage of it and I was able to keep them working. But obviously Nevada was very closed. So after landing that national account, I was able to then go to Plainfield, Indiana. And then they also invited me that same year to Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you, when I did that expansion, I thought, what the heck am I doing?
Right?
How am I going to manage all these people?
Crazy, and they're all over the place. They're all over the, you know, can I be as effective as, you know, here I am right in front of you?
So I was able to call one of my instructors from the SBA who led Emerging Leaders. I called her up and I said, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. So I hired her to come in and help me. And she introduced me to a book called Traction. From there, I read the book and I'm like, okay, we're going to implement the EOS system. She goes, no, dear, I just wanted you to read this book. I said, oh, no, I'm implementing the EOS system. And so we rolled it all out. My daughter and I, we bought all the books. We studied it. And then my coach, she's like, Laura, I've never really seen this. A daughter and mother team, one is the visionary and the other one is actually the implementer, the one that can actually balance you out.
But that's so huge.
It was huge. That's what kept us alive.
You know, there's this idea that, you know, the entrepreneur, the small business owner is kind of like the Lone Ranger, you know?
You can't be.
And entrepreneurship is a team sport.
Totally a team. You and know, opposites.
And building complementary skills.
Yeah.
That's a big part of making it successful.
This conversation was so great. I am so appreciative that you would stop me. Yeah. So you're going to have a couple of minutes now that are left. We're down to like 4 minutes left in the podcast. And what I want you to do in closing is, how does someone get a hold of you, right? How do they sign up for these classes? And then in closing, what would you like to tell that entrepreneur, that small business owner, especially the hyper ones like me?
Well, first of all, and you've got my contact information. You can scroll it underneath if you want, but I'm easy to reach. Mm-hmm. Janet.Runge, R-U-N-G-E, at UNLV.edu. And email is by far and away the best way to reach me. What I want people to know is that it is not impossible. There are so many ways to get into business. It's easier now than ever before.
Oh, yes.
And that's great, but it's also scary. Mm-hmm. You know, all you need literally is a laptop and build yourself a web page. You're in business.
And they do them here.
Yeah, and they do them here at Launchpad. They do great work. So I want people to understand it's easy to get. And we see now, oh, my side gig. And, oh, I've got two side gigs. And, you know, that's awesome. And sometimes those side gigs grow enough. Now I'm quitting my day job and my side gig just became my day job. I think we're kind of seeing a transition in the way, you know, these things happen. But you can't call these side gigs, you know, businesses unless you're really willing to put in the time and effort to grow it.
Right.
And that takes work and dedication and a little bit of help. And fortunately, there is help, whether you're a startup, whether you're a growing business, all over the valley. The SBLA, I think, is just an incredibly cool part of that. We offer a class once a year right now. The plan is that in the fall, we will offer a level two class. Ooh. The class that you took is a level one.
One.
Yeah. To get into the level two class, you kind of have to have gone through level one. And we have a number of, you know, potential applicants for that. In that level two class, we are going to go hard on toolbox kind of things. And once again, the beautiful thing about the SBLA program is that we didn't just tailor it for the community. We tailor it for each cohort of students who go through the program, we ask for feedback after each session.
Right.
What do you want to know more about? And then we make sure that we are building that into the program so you are getting exactly what you asked us for in addition to what we thought you should have. And so it's tailored at each step along the way. And we will be reaching out to past participants to say, these are the things we're thinking about. Are there other things you want to see here? And it'll be another 8-week session. And then after that, back to another level one class.
Awesome. See, and don't be scared of your hyper. She's used to it.
Plays well with others.
Right. Yes. No, thank you very much once again for just being on our show, taking time out of your busy schedule.
I am happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. So make sure that you follow us. Okay. Follow Business Matters, Laura Nowlin. Look up Dr. All the links will be below. We'll see you the next time. God bless.